Hi, everybody. Welcome back. This is going to be another carpisode. And I love the carpisodes because when I'm driving, I feel like the way I explain things are even more direct because I'm multitasking. I really enjoy bringing you the carpisodes, but like the last one, the audio quality wasn't great. But we figured it out for next time, truly. I have someone that I'm partnered with as a mentor and someone helping me scale the show for you who has helped me understand which mic to use. So next time, the carpisode is probably going to be even better than this microphone I'm using at my desk. So the content in this episode I thought was good enough for you to still hear. I really wanted to bring you this episode and make sure that you heard what I had to say. So just, I don't like it when the host of a show has poor audio quality and they don't address it. So that's all I'm doing is to see how you're doing. How you doing? You having a good day? Awesome. Me too. The audio quality could be better. Yes. And guess what? It really will be next time. Thanks for listening. And here's to even more trips in my Ford Edge. Here we go. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to my Ford Edge. It's fancy, isn't it? I just got a wash today. Nothing feels better than getting all of your kids' food and the dirt off the rugs. I do it every Sunday, actually. I'm a little neurotic, but it gets so dirty in 1 week. 1 week! So dirty. We'll eat out every once in a while, but you would think we ate out or permanently just lived in our car. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but we don't live in our car, but it looks like we do. My children are not with me right now, and I am alone in the car, and I thought this would be a perfect time to record a carpisode. Today, we're going to talk about the difference between a people-first company and a revenue-first company. Everyone wants to say they're a people-first company, but very few actually are. So if you're in a situation where your CEO, your leadership team is like, let's be a people-first company, or maybe you're not even there yet, but if they're saying it and you're like, we're not a people-first company, this episode is for you and what to do. A people-first company is a company with an executive team that understands that by taking care of your employees and putting their needs first, it will lead to better customer relations, higher productivity, higher engagement, less turnover, and therefore all of that adds up to more revenue. A revenue-first company cares about short-term gains. They push really hard on teams to do more with less, increase the goals, don't increase headcount, don't listen at survey and don't listen to the answers or optimize your employee experience for your people. Don't train your managers. And basically, make sure everybody at work is miserable, but is working really hard, burning the candle at both ends. And yeah, you might hit your goals for a couple quarters and make your board of directors really happy or just be somewhat profitable, but that's when people start quitting. That's when people start leaving. That's when people start quiet quitting, which is worse when they stay. And that kills your business because you got a bunch of apathetic zombies hanging out, just collecting a paycheck and not optimizing or doing anything because no one cares. That's a revenue-first company. A lot of companies will say, we're a people-first company, but that all comes up from the top, and it's from the CEO's understanding of decision-making and prioritizing of what the company cares about. A good CEO, like I said, knows that by taking care of your people, that's the solid foundation on which better customer relations and ultimate revenue come from. And a frantic CEO or a CEO that's not employee experience and engagement minded can be kind of like yelling out commands and making everybody a little gun shy. Like, we gotta drive revenue. We have these big metrics. We gotta go, go, go. And everyone's like, okay. But meanwhile, you got unlimited PTO and no one takes it. Managers aren't holding one-on-ones. Teams are very siloed. There's not a lot of optimization going on. There's just a lot of people doing really silly things in backwards ways with not the right tools, not the right systems in place, not the right processes in place, and they're making themselves nuts because nobody's taking the time to optimize what the heck is even going on per each department. Add to that, people don't feel connected. They don't feel like they have a friend at work. They don't feel like they have a path to grow at your company. Those things might feel like, oh, we'll get there one day. It's like, one day I'm going to fix onboarding. No, no. You got to do that stuff now to set your people up to be having a great time, to be feeling like they have a greater purpose at your company so that they stay. If you work on those things later and you just push people and hire more people, maybe you're not hiring a lot of people right now. It's due to the economy, depending on when you're listening to this episode, but you have to be really, truly a people-first company. And I believe that begins with surveys,
figuring out what's broken or missing from your employee experience, I just took all of January and February, half of February, talking about surveys. So check out all that other content. Surveys set you free. Surveys help you figure out why your people are quiet quitting or why they're disengaged. And that's how you become a people-first company, by listening to them and doing, analyzing what the answers are and figuring out creative solutions, and then asking your people if your solutions worked. So I digress. Nobody's going to claim to be a revenue-first company. No one puts that on their website or says it at their all hands. We're a revenue-first company, because people would be like, excuse me? Where do I fit into this? Oh, well, you fit in after customers, and you come in third. You're basically last. And that's why most companies struggle year after year with turnover and low productivity and kind of lackluster results. You can push your people really hard for a short time and not take care of them, and it'll work. But you can't push your people really hard for a really long time and not take care of them or listen to them or be an advocate for them. And the time, their precious time that they're giving to your company, they won't stay. So my advice to you, if you're in meetings, or usually people in HR or a people ops role, you report directly to the CEO or the CFO. I feel for those of you who report to the CFO. That's always interesting to me. Maybe because the CEO doesn't have time. Sometimes some of you report to the CIO, the chief information officer, and I'm like, huh, I guess, because you track employee data. But really, you and the CEO are like the head coach and the offensive coordinator of a football team. I'm sorry to use a crude sports metaphor. I did play sports, so this works for me. You're like the president and the VP of something. Whatever. Sure. But here's the thing. The offensive coordinator is actually the one calling the shots. Okay? They're the eye in the sky. That's you, with your surveys and your people analytics and finding all these new ways to automate your job and making sure people are getting what they need. And really, all of you see stuff before it's coming. I know some of you tell me, I know what's broken. I just have to make the CEO think it's their idea to fix it. That's how business works. That's how relationships works. And that's how that power dynamic works. But the CEO is like the head coach, the face of the company. They're on the website and they're, you know, speaking at the all hands, or they should be. But you know what? They have no idea why your people are disengaged, nor should they be the ones working on that kind of stuff. They rely on you to be their eye in the sky, listening to the employees, coming up with solutions, coming to the CEO like, this is what I suggest. This is what we should fix first, according to the employee hierarchy of needs. I'll link out to that in the show notes. And a good CEO will say, great, I'm so glad we hired you. So this is what we're working on in this order. Great, ship it. But the problem is, then the CEO will be like, hey, we just had a great board meeting. Go hire 20 people. And you're like, okay, that's going to completely take me out of my role, my actual role, which is payroll, benefits, policies, basically all the things, onboarding, recruiting, employee growth. Okay, we might need to hire a new person. And if you're told no, I would say, hey, so remember how we wanted to be a people first company? If you have me go recruit these 20 roles and I don't have help, I won't be able to work on our employee experience and keep an eye on it and keep listening to our people as well as I am now. It's going to completely take that hat off, and I'm just going to be recruiting people and hoping that the work we've done is enough to get us through to when I can go back to focusing on it. So we should consider adding another headcount, because could I do it all? Technically. Can anyone do all of that well? No. So if we truly are a people first company, I'm advocating for us to hire a recruiter. And then if they're like, oh, I don't know, say we'll hire a recruiter with a little bit of a mishmash of experience, so that if our recruiting slows down, we've got someone who's got experience with payroll, got experience with sending surveys. Maybe they're very junior and very new in their role, or it doesn't matter. You'll train them. You'll train them to be your second hand on the HR, or your third, or your fourth. But if you're being pushed to plan the company holiday party, plan the company on-site, off-site, whatever you want to call it, things that for some reason HR is asked to do. But the other things that you are asked to do, if the CEO goes really deep on something, hiring 20 people, plan a party, if you find yourself spread very thin, and you're doing all the things, and you feel like your attention is slipping away of having a pulse on what's actually going on, it's time to remind them, hey, we're a people first company. We might need to scale the HR team. And if they're like, well, but we need salespeople and we need developers. Like, yes, we do. But that's a revenue first decision. Yes, we do need these, those things. But I need someone else on my team to help me keep all of this on track, to assist me to do this well. First of all, the takeaway of this episode is, are you a revenue first company or are you a people first company? Have you had that conversation with your CEO? Do they understand the difference between a revenue first and a people first company? I can link out to a slide I have to help you show them and a previous webinar. And it's really good for both of you to get on the same page about what that means. And I've got all this data to show you in that slide deck in an on-demand webinar I already hosted. It's okay. You can watch it after the fact. It doesn't matter that you weren't there live. Show this to them. Watch the webinar with them. It's you can't argue with it. Having an engaged workforce is the path to productivity and revenue. Having a people-first attitude is what gets you to long-term scalable revenue, okay? You can't keep shouting orders at people and not optimizing your systems and not fixing your onboarding and not focusing on your people. What is their day-to-day like? Is it terrible? Okay, that's okay. Guess what? It's terrible for most employees at most companies, so they're kind of used to it. But don't you want to be the extraordinary company that does this right? Listen to this episode with your CEO even. You know what? They don't know what they don't know. And yeah, they're like, engagement experience. By the way, those aren't the same. I have an episode, what's the difference between employee experience and employee engagement? Because they're not synonymous. Your CEO needs to understand, either from you or from this episode, say, hey, you want an engaged workforce? Me too. Engagement is an output of me optimizing the employee experience. I have to have the time and space to do that. If you're running around like a chicken with your head cut off and you're putting out fires and you're answering 401k questions over and over and over again and you're onboarding, you're recruiting, you're firing someone, you're writing new policies, you're trying to do career mapping, and then it's like, well, are our people engaged? Like, holy cow. I have no idea. And even if you had the time to ask, it's like, now you got to analyze the data. So make sure there's enough people on your team. Make sure your CEO understands your role is sort of just like theirs. There's no other role in the company other than you and the CEO that are asked to do so many things and touch so many parts of the business. I like to say too, there's no one lonelier at the company than the CEO and the head of HR, because you two are kind of siloed in this. You know a lot of privy information about employees and plans and decisions that need to be made, but you can't always tell everyone. Obviously, that's part of your role. You're like the trusted advisor. You two are often making decisions together or just having to make decisions that you other people can't know about. So hopefully you and your CEO are like best buds. If you and your CEO are not best buds, and it could be a variety of reasons, maybe there's an age difference, maybe there's an experience gap, or maybe you two don't get along. Maybe you're intimidated. Maybe they're intimidated of you. But either way, that is your relation. That is your partner. That is your Robin to your Batman, because yes, you actually are Batman. When it comes to you are the biggest revenue lever a company can have. Yes, the CEO is obviously important and they're driving the strategy and the mission and the vision of the company, like go, but you are like right next to them, like, and this is how we get there. I hope you're fostering a relationship with your CEO. I hope you're getting what you need. And that relationship is respectful. If it's not, Christy Williams was just on the show and she recommended a book. That's a great book for having very honest, candid conversations and having efficient communication with purpose. So you and your CEO have to be best buds. You need to be in each other's business when it comes to the people of the organization. And you know what? They need to trust you. You may need to build trust over time. You can do it. Listen to all my other content about surveys and how to listen to your people and show your CEO, hey, we're not going to drive engagement with pizza parties and Grubhub gift cards. We are not going to drive engagement by having silly hat day and having a book club. Those things are like the sprinkles to a cake. We need to have the actual cake. Okay. We can't just put sprinkles on a plate and be like, look, it's a cake. No, Sprinkles are nice to have. You don't need a book club. You don't need Grubhub gift cards to engage your people. Your people want to have a good time at work. They want the right systems and tools in place so they can do their job well. They want to feel like their boss cares about them as a person. They want to feel like their team is committed to quality work. I'm rattling off survey questions for you that map to the employee hierarchy of needs. And then you can point to them and be like, hey, CEO, this is what I'm going to optimize first because it's lower on the hierarchy. We can't help our people grow until they have the right tools and systems in place. So this is what I'm working on. Either help me or get out of my hair. Respectfully, love ya, gotta go. No, I'm not planning a pizza party. You want a pizza party? You can plan it. Ask the head of sales to plan it. Ask the product leader to plan our company offsite. I mean, gosh. So stay in your lane. Get your CEO to know what your lane is, which is like the most important, critical one, and get them to see that you need them as a partner. And sometimes they might, you know, be making decisions with you, or they just might need to get out of your hair. Of course, they're involved in your decisions, but they need to trust you. If you two don't trust each other, it's never going to work. The company will exist. You two will exist and get paid, but you're not going to have the awesome culture turnaround Hail Mary story of taking a toxic, quiet quitting, burned out, apathetic culture and turning it into a high functioning, highly engaged, great place to work together. So are you a people first company or are you a revenue first company? And how are you going to become best buds with your CEO? Let me know. I would love to hear. If you're watching on YouTube, tell me in the comments, what's it like? What's going on over there? Who do you report to and how's it going in that relationship? Is the CEO dialed in? Do you guys use the term people first? I wanna know. Thank you for listening. This show is brought to you by Pingboard. We are the employee experience platform built for companies who put their people first. Listen, you can't do it all. Like I said earlier, you wear many hats. You're responsible for a lot of parts of the business. You can't do it all, but you can have a tool that can help you make sure it happens. That's what Pingboard does. Take care of yourself, take care of your people, take care of your families. You're good, you got this, and remember to have fun. Bye.